ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have just completed this story of Samvarga Vidya through the story of Raikva teaching to a great king called Janashruti. And next, the Chandogya Upanishad, fourth chapter, from the fourth section to the eighth section, six sections. One of the most popular and extraordinarily meaningful story is said, and it is so revealing that even Swami Vivekananda had commented upon it. This is the story of Satyakama Jabala, and the very name Satyakama, one who is desirous of only truth, Satya, Jabala, because his mother's name was Jabala, so he came to be known as Jabala. How beautifully these Upanishads tell us these stories in order to not only make the teaching easier, but to with such profound depths, we have to meditate on each part of it. And Swamiji was so taken up with this that in his practical Vedanta, I think in the second part, he gives this story. And I am going to read out that story from the mouth of Swami Vivekananda. I will relate to you a very ancient story from the Chandogya Upanishad, which tells us how knowledge came to a boy. The form of the story is very crude, but we shall find that it contains a principle. A young boy said to his mother, "I am going to study the Vedas. Tell me the name of my father and my caste." The mother was not a married woman, and in India, the child of a woman who has not been married is considered an outcast. He is not recognized by society, and he is not entitled to the study of the Vedas. So the poor mother said, "My child, I do not know your family name. I was in service and served in different places. I do not know who your father is, but my name is Jabala and your name is Satyakama." The little child went to a sage and asked to be taken as a student. The sage asked him, "What is the name of your father and what is your caste?" The boy repeated to him what he had heard from his mother. The sage at once said, "None but a Brahmin could speak such a damaging truth about himself. You are a Brahmin and I will teach you. You are not swerved from truth. So he kept the boy with him and educated him. Now come some of the peculiar methods of education in ancient India. This teacher gave Satyakama 400 lean, weak cows to take care of and sent him to the forest. There he went and lived for some time. The teacher had told him to come back when the herd would increase to the number of 1,000. After a few years, one day, Satyakama heard a big bull in the herd saying to him, "We are 1,000 now, take us back to your teacher. I will teach you a little of Brahman." "Say on, sir," said Satyakama. Then the bull said, "The east is a part of the Lord, so is the west, so is the south, so is the north. The four cardinal points are the four parts of Brahman. Fire also will teach you something of Brahman." Fire was a great symbol in those days, and every student had to procure fire and make offerings. So on the following day, Satyakama started for his guru's house, and when in the evening he had performed his oblation and worshipped at the fire and was sitting near it, he heard a voice come from the fire. "O Satyakama, speak, Lord," said Satyakama. Perhaps you may remember a very similar story in the Old Testament, how Samuel heard a mysterious voice. "O Satyakama, I am come to teach you a little of Brahman. This earth is a portion of that Brahman. The sky and the heaven are portions of it. The ocean is a part of that Brahman." Then the fire said that a certain bird would also teach him something. Satyakama continued his journey, and on the next day, when he had performed his evening sacrifice, a swan came to him and said, "I will teach you something about Brahman. This fire which you worship, O Satyakama, is a part of that Brahman. The sun is a part. The moon is a part. The lightning is a part of that Brahman. A bird called Mudgu will tell you more about it." The next day, next evening, that bird came and a similar voice was heard by Satyakama. "I will tell you something about Brahman. Breath is a part of Brahman. Sight is a part. Hearing is a part. The mind is a part." Then the boy arrived at his teacher's place and presented himself before him with due reverence. No sooner had the teacher seen this disciple than he remarked, "Satyakama, thy face shines like that of a knower of Brahman. Who then has taught thee?" "Beings other than men," replied Satyakama. "But I wish that you should teach me, sir. For I have heard from men like you that knowledge which is learned from a guru alone leads to the supreme good." Then the sage taught him the same knowledge which he had received from the gods, and nothing was left out. Yeah, nothing was left out. So that is the story Swamiji narrates. Then he gives his interpretation. Now, apart from the allegories of what the bull, the fire, and the birds taught, we see the tendency of the thought and the direction in which it was going in those days. The great idea of which we here see the germ is that all these vices are inside ourselves. As we understand these truths better, we find that the vice is in our own heart. And the student understood that all the time he was hearing the truth, but his explanation was not correct. He was interpreting the voice as coming from the external world, while all the time it was within him. The second idea that we get is that of making the knowledge of the Brahman practical. The world is always seeking the practical possibilities of religion, and we find in these stories how it was becoming more and more practical every day. The truth was shown through everything with which the students were familiar. The fire they were worshipping was Brahman. The earth was a part of Brahman, and so on. This is the quotation from Swami Vivekananda. Now, significance of the Satya Kama Jabala story. I will also discuss from another viewpoint the interpretation of what the mother of Satya Kama Jabala, when she was asked, what is my father's gotra, lineage, name of the lineage? I will give my own thoughts along with Swamiji's thoughts. The story of Satya Kama Jabala found in the Chandogya Upanishad is significant for its emphasis on truthfulness and character over social status. It teaches that a true seeker of spiritual knowledge is defined by their sincerity and dedication, not by their birth or lineage. First point, truthfulness is the mark of a true seeker. This is my interpretation, the mother of Satya Kama's character. Now, when we look how Swamiji literally translated, when Satya Kama approached his mother, "Oh mother, I desire to learn about Brahman, about spiritual practice. I want to be a brahmachari. I want to live with a teacher, because the tradition dictates that any knowledge should come only from a traditional teacher. So I would like to go." In those days, the teachers would ask, from which gotra you have come? From which lineage you have come? Why were they asking? Because in those days, Brahmins were taught. Even Kshatriyas were also taught. But that is not the confinement. Later on, we see in the Puranas, especially Markandeya Purana, the Vaishya was taught the same truth. Suratha, the king, and Samadhi, the merchant, businessman, both of them were taught this Brahma Vidya. Only the Rishi Sumedha did not use the word Brahman. He used the word the Divine Mother, Shakti, and that is the word he used. And we have to remember Sri Ramakrishna's often uttering the truth. Brahman and Shakti are one and the same. What others call Brahman, I call it as Shakti. Shakti, Saguna Brahma, Ishvara, these are synonymous words. We have to understand it. So, what was Swamiji's interpretation? Because that is a literal translation of what the mother of Satya Kama had told about herself. Now, what struck me when I read is this, the character of the mother of Satya Kama. The son went and asked, to what lineage, gotra means lineage, do I belong, O mother? And what did the mother do? Did she create a lineage? Oh, you belong to this gotra? No. She told exactly the same truth, the same, absolutely, I was very busy and I was serving in your father's household and I was so busy, I had no time. Maybe I was shy also to ask which gotra, but I was totally dedicated to his will, whatever he wants, and he wants to live like a orthodox Brahmin. She did not say that. But when Satya Kama Jabala approached his guru, Gautama, then he asked, to which lineage do you belong? Satya Kama repeated exactly the same answer that his mother had given. And then immediately, the teacher says, such a harsh truth that a child doesn't know who his father was, what lineage he belonged to. But that harsh truth can be told, will be told only by a Brahmana. What was he telling? Anybody who tells truth alone is a Brahmana. Not that every Brahmin may not tell the truth. We don't know. Nowadays, of course, it is completely absent. Even in the olden days,
There will be some Brahmins, if it can harm them, they might tell they are not Brahmins. Or others may tell we are Brahmins, not being Brahmins. If you recollect the story of Parashurama's famous disciple Karna. Karna was a Kshatriya. He did not, of course, know that he was a Kshatriya. He knows that he was the son of a charioteer, and a charioteer always belongs to the lowest, one of the lowest castes. But he had tremendous intelligence, capability, and desire to surpass in archery, because his Kshatriya samskara is provoking him. Then he approached Parashurama, and Parashurama asked, because he would not like to tell, to teach to Kshatriyas, because Parashurama's main purpose is to annihilate all these ruling classes, because so much of damage they had done. His own Parashurama's father was killed, so he killed the race of Kshatriyas, it is said, 21 times, again and again. Later on, of course, he stopped everything. So, Karna told a lie. I am a Brahmana and I belong to your Gotram only. So, Parashurama was pleased. Oh, somebody who belongs to my Gotra. Oh, then immediately started teaching. We know the story. I don't want to prolong it. But what is meant is, Karna was very sincere, but he lied. So, he cannot be a Brahmana. But here, Satyakama had told the truth exactly, repeating the words of his mother. And as soon as the Gautama heard it, the teacher of Satyakama, Jabala, he said, whoever can utter such a truth, he cannot be anybody else excepting a Brahmana. Now, why did I bring up this incident? Because as soon as Satyakama approached his mother, "Mother, I desire to be a Brahmacharin. Naturally, my teacher will ask." He was very intelligent. He knew. "So please tell me all the details." And she told the truth. And therefore, we have to understand that is she a Brahmin or not? She must be a Brahmani because she told the truth. Why am I telling that one? Whoever doesn't tell the truth, such a person is called non-Brahmin or Shudra. It doesn't matter. If the teacher can certify Satyakama, because you told the truth without fear or without being ashamed openly, then such a harsh truth cannot come from the mouth of anybody else excepting a Brahmana. So whoever follows truth, thinks truth, speaks truth, and observes truth, we will see it in the life of Satyakama Jabala. He is a Brahmana. And if he is a Brahmana, according to the teacher certificate, the mother of Satyakama, Jabala, must be a Brahmani only. If he was a Brahmani, how could she marry somebody who is a non-Brahmin? She must have married a Brahmana. She must have married when she was young. And in those days, the daughter-in-laws were married even in those days earlier, for the simple reason that they will have to get accustomed to observe the traditions of the father-in-law, mother-in-law, that means the husband. Rani Rasmani was born in the family of a fisherwoman or Kaivartaka. And her father was one of the greatest devotees of Ramachandra, Sri Rama, like Sri Ramakrishna. The difference is, Ramakrishna was a Brahmana, Shudhiram was a Brahmana, whereas this was a Kaivartaka, looked down in society, fisherwoman's family, they say. But it is, they were not doing fisherman's job, they were doing something else. Anyway, so she was a worshipper of Divine Mother, Shakta family. But she was married also very early, perhaps at the age of 9. That was the time when Rajachandra had seen her playing with other girls on the banks of the Ganga. So immediately he said, if at all I have to marry, I will marry only this girl. So marriage was done. She came. Then she found herself in a family accustomed to worship God as Divine Mother, as Kali. What did she do? Immediately she adopted. And then she later on, she used to also label herself Bhagavad Dasi. I am the servant. And Sri Ramakrishna used to tell, she is one of the sakhis of the Divine Mother herself. Now, what is the point? The point is, earlier people used to get married, women especially. And then so that the purpose is that they will have to forget their own family tradition and adopt to the husband's family tradition. So, a Brahmani will usually not marry a non-Brahmin. And then the guru told, your father must be a Brahmana. You are the son of a Brahmana only. Indirectly. The Upanishad doesn't prove it. But we have to understand it that way. So, the character of the mother of such a great soul must herself be very great character, truthful character, and she was completely devoted to her husband, and she never took it into her head to ask what gotra you belong, Vasishta gotra, Gautama gotra, Bharadvaja gotra, lineage. We have to learn a big lesson. So pure karma yogin, and she was so absorbed, so devoted, because such a great soul will not be born into ordinary families. We are born to exhaust each other's karma. That's why the Bhagavad Gita tells so beautifully, Athava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam. So, either a fallen or an incomplete yogi is reborn in a very pure family, rich and at the same time spiritual family, like Balaram Basu's family, or it could be pure Brahmin family, like Sri Ramakrishna's family. There are many cases like that. So what is important is to consider, to even think that she herself labels herself the mother of Satyakama, Jabala. I am a Paricharini. I am a tireless worker. Paricharini means, doesn't mean a maid servant. Paricharini means she must be a married woman and she must be completely devoted to her husband. She must be so absorbed in discharging her duties as a devoted wife. And that is the interpretation given by Shankaracharya. But a few points Shankaracharya doesn't bring out. But he says, definitely, that was a Brahmin family. She was so absorbed and then she did not inquire. So she was simply telling, you were born when I was completely absorbed in serving my husband, and my name is Jabala, so your name is Jabala. Your real name is Satyakama, because you are born to me, you are Satyakama Jabala. And Satyakama's father must have died earlier, otherwise she would not have been a widow. In the earlier days, people used to die various reasons. We don't know, we have no idea. What is important for us, the importance of truth. So Satyakama's admission of his uncertain parentage demonstrates that courage and truth are more valuable than even high birth. So his master, sage Haridruma Gautama, valued his honesty above all, because only a great teacher, a really spiritual master, alone will look at it. And he recognized that genuine character is a true indicator of a spiritual aspirant. Let us recollect. Sri Ramakrishna violated the family tradition in the 19th century, and accepted bhiksha, first food, after he was endowed with the sacred thread, invested with sacred thread. And then there is a tradition, only from one's own mother, food has to be accepted. First bhiksha, after being invested into the sacred thread. But there was a woman called Dhani, and she was very close companion of Chandramani Devi, but belongs to a low caste family, but they were very intimate friends, Chandramani and then this Dhani. And she worshipped Gadai because she was observing. She must be a great spiritual person. She must be extraordinarily fortunate person to witness the leelas of an avatara. Even Sri Krishna's own parents did not witness because they were imprisoned. But it fell to Mother Yashoda and Nanda, Father Nanda, not Devaki, Vasudeva. So this lady was extraordinarily fortunate, and she must be really spiritual because Sri Ramakrishna was loved by many, but he would not tolerate unspiritual attitude. But he loved Dhani. And why did he love Dhani? Why did Sri Ramakrishna love Narendranath? There is an illustration. Why did he love so much? Then Divine Mother gave the reply. She said, you see, greatest manifestation of Narayana in Narendra. That is why you love him. You are loving only God. And that loving God, your love of God, you love God. That love because of God, and that God is most to manifest in Narendranath. That is the reason why you are more attracted to Narendranath than to anybody else. So we have to understand this truth. This Dhani was admired by Sri Ramakrishna. She may belong to a low caste, but truthfulness, unselfish love, and great service, these are the every spiritual aspirant's quality. And Dhani fulfilled them. Very innocent, very pure, very truthful, and she loved Gadai. What is the point? The point is, everybody cannot love Gadai because Gadai manifests most of the godly nature. Simply seeing how beautiful Gadai was, how nicely he could sing, some people were attracted. There is no doubt about it. Why were so many people were attracted to Swami Vivekananda in the West? Not only in the West, he could attract women like anything. But the women, did they understand that why they were attracted? Because they were seeing more manifestation of their own Atman in Narendranath. But they could not understand it, why they were attracted. So why gopis were attracted to Krishna? He asked, why were you attracted? And they themselves answered, Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratmadrik. You are not the ordinary son of a illiterate cowherd woman. You are the indweller within everybody, including ourselves. By loving you, we are actually loving the Atman who is within ourselves. That is the truth. And their Gopi Gita very beautifully expresses these ideas. Coming back, Sri Ramakrishna was naturally loved Dhani, attracted towards Dhani. And then she expressed, my whole life's one desire is to be called the mother of Sri Ramakrishna, Gadai, after his sacred thread ceremony. If I can have that bhiksha, that boon, my whole life will be blessed. She will be floating in divine ecstasy. Of course, Sri Ramakrishna could straight away understand the truth. He could understand from the very birth, he could understand. That's why he used to imitate these pretenders, hypocrites. It is not because he wanted to derive fun. He wanted to tell that these are not truth seekers. So, without hesitation, without thinking, instantaneously, he said, yes, I will get my first bhiksha. And Sri Ramakrishna was as truthful as his father. And when the topic came, Sri Ramakrishna said, I will be very happy to be invested with sacred thread, but I have promised to Dhani that I will accept my first food from her hands only. And the whole family raised objection. Even why did they raise? Not because they did not love Dhani. They knew Dhani very well. She was one of the close companions of Chandramani Devi. Everybody knows her character. But they did not have the courage to go against the tradition. That is the real truth. And immediately, there was a storm. No. Then Sri Ramakrishna said here, such a marvelous truths we can derive by contemplating on the leelas of Sri Ramakrishna. He said, look here. Of course, his father wasn't there. I don't know. Just now the thought came to me. Supposing his father was there, I think he would have accepted it because he was a lover of truth. All were lovers of truth only, but the fear of society, especially community, is very strong in those days. It is the fear, not that they did not love Dhani. If it was a secret ceremony, definitely they would have accepted Ramakrishna. But they raised objection. Ramakrishna came straight to the point that you want me to become a Dvija, twice born. Then only my true Brahmin's life will start. Samskarat Vijavichyate. There is a beautiful shloka which says, by birth, everybody is a Shudra. Through developing knowledge and samskaras, good habits, good impressions, truthful, rightful, devotional impressions, then only one becomes a twice born, second time born into spiritual life. Vedadhyanat vipro bhavati. If he studies the scriptures, acquires mastery, but in the right spirit, then he is entitled to be called as vipra. But still he is not a brahmana. So, brahma janati iti brahmanaha. Only when he realizes Brahman, he will be a real Brahmana. So who is a real Brahmana? One who is a realizer of God. One who realized Aham Brahmasmi. And if you still remember, what is the definition of Brahma in the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, Brahmanandavalli? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Satyam. What is the very word? Satyam. Not Anrutam. So, what Sri Ramakrishna was telling, that you want to ultimately become Brahman, Brahmana, by knowing Brahman. And Brahman or God is another name for truth. Or truth is God. Gandhiji used to say that I do not say God is a truth. I say truth is God. What is the difference? Emphasis. Truth, not on God. Emphasis, not on God, but on truth. That's why Ramakrishna never deviated from truth. So therefore, he is telling that if you want me to realize the truth, which is Brahman, I must think of truth, speak truth, and observe the truth by thinking, by speaking, and by practicing. What are you telling? I have already given my words. And if I don't accept it, hearing you, listening to you, obeying you, the very first act will be, I will be a follower of untruth. And how am I going to be a twice born if I am not observing truth? Either I fulfill my promise or I will not take this sacred thread. Of course, we know then the neighboring Lahas, who are close friends of Kshudiram, etc., they came and said, so there are so many deviations like this. They must have cited. I would be very happy to know them actually, what examples they have cited, but we do not get any examples. And then he was permitted. And then first bhiksha. So a beautiful song also by Swami Pratyayananda. How greatly fortunate must have been this Dhani Kamarini, to receive the first bhiksha, to become the bhiksha mata of Sri Ramakrishna himself. Now, coming back to our, so people are usually don't pay attention, how great must be the character of Satyakama's mother. If the mother was not truthful. She could not have given birth to such a person who is very aptly named as Satyakama, that is, one who is a seeker of truth. So that is Shankaracharya's interpretation. Many people misunderstand. She was a public woman. She served many people. And what happens? Supposing we take that story, that she was a public woman, and then a Brahmana happened to be mating with her, and as a result, this boy was born. Now, if a Brahmana is running after these kind of things, can he be a real Brahmana? If people come to know about it, he would have been outcast long back. So, the Upanishad unconsciously reveals that even great parents alone can produce great children. It is not seen that great children are born of ordinary people. Swami Vivekananda, he quotes the story of Jesus Christ. He was God himself. Why was he born? To a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. His mother Mary was a very ordinary person. They were engaged to be married, but they were not yet married. And then an angel comes. What a marvelous story, which tallies with what happened to Sri Ramakrishna, that is, Kshudiram, was told at Gaya by Gaya Vishnu, I would wish to become your son, to be born as your son. And here, Chandramani Devi, along with Dhani, went to the Shiva temple, and she found a ray of light came, and then she felt, I am with a child. And she told frankly, she was such an innocent woman, nothing can be hidden. And people called her mad because she tells whatever is in her mind. Sri Ramakrishna exactly did the same thing. There was a funny story that one day Madhur Babu, to test Sri Ramakrishna, brought a beautiful woman. Then if Sri Ramakrishna had any desire to enjoy secretly, that was the wish of Madhur Babu, because he thought every unmarried male must become a mad person until he discharges his energy. Many people believe even today also. What did Sri Ramakrishna do? Oh, Ramlal, come and see who has entered my room. This is one incident. Another incident, I don't remember exactly, but something happened to Sri Ramakrishna's health, and Rakhal Maharaj's future Swami, Brahmanandaji, he was telling, what will people think if they come to know that you have this problem? Don't tell anybody. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna shouted, hey, look here, Rakhal tells me not to tell any one of you that I am suffering from this disease. Sri Ramakrishna never kept anything in his mind. Perhaps a few things he kept in his mind, if he really understands that if he tells something that will hurt, harm, damage somebody, then only he would not tell. But a sadhu should be completely free. What is in the mind should be spoken, and such people alone will be saved. There was a story. There was a son of a public woman, and because of her, because of him also, so one day he came and touched Sri Ramakrishna's feet. Maybe a moment of understanding came to him. Sri Ramakrishna cried out in pain because he could not bear the touch of impure people. And then, but out of compassion, he said that you go, you tell me, confess to me, what are all the unholy things, impure things you have done. And he could not open his mouth. Then Sri Ramakrishna told him, you go to the banks of the Ganges and you shout, Mother Ganga will hear you, will purify you. But unfortunately, he was a wretched person. He was not fated. He just bent his head down and went away. Now, what I wanted to tell here, convey, what a great character this mother of this great would be Brahmagnani. We will see that he has become a Brahmagnani in future, because a would-be Brahmagnani would not be born unless it is a great, pure, spiritual family. We have to understand that. So, according to Shankara, she was a married woman. Her husband was a Brahmana. She got married when she was very young. And ever since she came, she devoted her whole life in the service of her husband, receiving guests, serving them. It must have been a famous family, because lots and lots of people used to visit, guests, relatives, and so many other people, needy people. And she was busy day and night in serving them. So she must have got pregnant. It must never have popped into her head to ask what gotra you belong. And then at some point of time, her husband died and she had only this one child. That is also a great point we have to keep in mind. If she was a public woman, she could have borne other children also. There were no other children. Only this particular child, she brought him up. And as soon as he grew up a little, the desire to become a Brahmagnani arose in him. So he went and asked. He knew the tradition. Mother, tell me what is my gotra. That means, tell me about my father's gotra. And she told frankly, I did not know. I never inquired. I was so busy. Then you were born. Then he repeated the same thing to his guru. And then the guru immediately understood the truth. Only a person who tells the truth, he is a Brahmana. The last point we have to understand. Supposing, you are telling the truth, but you may not be a Brahmana. No. The guru tells that whoever tells the truth is a Brahmana, not the other way around. Every Brahmana should tell the truth. But the other way around is, even if a Shudra tells a truth, he is not a Shudra, he is a Brahmana, especially in crucial matters. So, this is a great point. Spiritual knowledge transcends caste and birth. In an era when strict caste rules often dictated access to education, this story shows an enlightened teacher willing to disregard a student's social background. It powerfully conveys that one becomes a Brahmin through their conduct and character, not their lineage, not the opposite way. Third, knowledge can be attained through nature and self-effort. Knowledge cannot be obtained by a person who is devoid of self-effort, who is lazy, who is indolent. Indolent person means person who has no desire. Because desire and effort are equally proportioned. So, by nature, he was a real Satyakama and he put forth self-effort. How much self-effort, we will see in this story. Satyakama's journey into the forest and his instruction from natural elements emphasize that profound knowledge is not limited to formal instruction. This was what Swami Vivekananda was pointing out. That all knowledge is within oneself. Only we have to become discoverers. A rishi is called a mantra drashta. Mantra means truth, not is omkara and other mantras. They are there, but mantra means truth. Because what is the justification? Mananat trayate iti mantra. That which saves. And what can save? Only truth can save. Therefore, a rishi is mantra drashta, a realizer of truth. Truth is vast. So, a little bit of the truth is uncovered. Truth is uncovered. Knowledge is uncovered. So, Swami Vivekananda says, each soul is potentially divine. And that means what? Pure knowledge is in a potential form within each one of us. When we discover it, we also become rishis. Whatever be the type of knowledge, secular or spiritual. That's why Swamiji could tell, even if he knew Einstein was a rishi. Every past Indian mathematician, they were all what is called Ganita Acharyas. They were all rishis, called rishis only. So, with dedication and meditation, a seeker can gain wisdom directly from the universe. That is, this is an important point. Even if a teacher is not there, intuitively one can understand the truth. What is the example? Sri Ramakrishna's first spiritual effort was not with the direction of teachers or scriptures. They got teachers and scriptures. They both go together. Tradition, sampradaya, means a guru learns scripture from the mouth of a teacher, and guru and scripture are one and the same. So, Sri Ramakrishna did not have neither scriptural knowledge nor gurus. He simply prayed, "Oh Mother, I want you. I want to see you. I want to be with you. I am a fool. You teach me yourself." And everything he attained, from the realization of Saguna Brahma to the realization of Nirguna Brahma. How do we know? Because Sri Ramakrishna himself said, long before these teachers like Bhairavi, Brahmani, Totapuri, etc. came, the Mother heard my prayer and made me go even into Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So second time he's going through is almost a repetition of the first one. That's a beautiful story. I'm not going to go into it. But the point here is that all truth is within. It can come by studying a brook, by seeing, as a poet beautifully says, the whole sky is reflected in a drop of the dew. So when our mind becomes pure, these intuitions come, and I will give you some illustrations also when occasions come. And that is what happened to Satya Kamaja Bala. Even if a formal teacher is not available, even if there is no one to guide, but intuition will come. And that is what happened to Satyakama, but in the form of the Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, and two other devatas in the form of two birds, which we will analyze in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.